Hi. Oh, a little voice memo up front. Erin, what's going on? Well, this is episode 30. Woohoo! 30 episodes! Wowee! Actually, I'm going to get back to that before I forget. This episode is coming out before Father's Day. I asked my dad, what did he want for Father's Day? He said, a shout out on the pod. Cute. So, hi Dad, happy Father's Day. He's great. If anyone needs an architect, he's licensed in most U.S. states, but he is retiring imminently, so work fast, okay? Second thing, 30 episodes, wow! I wasn't sure how I was going to celebrate this. My manager said to buy myself a cake. That might happen, we don't know. But I think, and I have been thinking for a long time about starting a Zoom book club and accompanying group message to meet about once a month and just talk about what's coming up on the podcast, but also just what everyone is reading and to create sort of a space for meeting again once a month on Zoom, maybe in person with LA as a branch out thing, whatever. If you are interested in that, DM me on Instagram. Thank you. And now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. Our guest today is Livy Scott. Livy is a writer, entertainment critic, and general lover of pop culture. She loves chatting romance, girlhood, and fantasy, and though her TBR is a mile long, literature is one of her first loves. Hi, Livy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Livy and I went to college together. I co-wrote a show that she starred in. We won several regional student Emmys. Not to brag.
No, we should brag, honestly.
But today's book is from The Files of Madison Finn, book one, Only the Lonely, by, I believe, Laura Dower. Mm-hmm. I had this book, but I
know. Oh my God. No way.
Yeah, I think I had, it was a thick book, so I think it was the first three in one physical book, but it had that orange cover with her in the purple blow-up chair and the file cabinet and the fonts. 2001, straight up and down. But how did this book come into your life?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So when I was a child, my parents are divorced. They've been divorced since I was 3 years old. So I don't necessarily remember a time when they were together, which is quite sad. But I do remember they both would take me to the bookstore all the time after school, as often as possible. If it wasn't Toys R Us, RIP to Toys R Us, it would be the bookstore. And I would just like wander around, look at the stuff. And I'm also a Libra. So like, if I see a cute cover, I'm like, I need this book. I don't even need to read the back. Let me at them. And I think I was just like walking by and I saw it on a shelf and I was like, holy shit. Maybe not holy shit because I was a child.
Maybe.
Maybe in my head. If I knew the word holy shit, I would probably have said it. Because I loved the aesthetic of it. I just loved that it was kind of like collage based because I love collages. And it was so poppy and just very, you know, Y2K. Y2K. And I saw that there was a series, like they were just like all lined up on this cute shelf. And I was like, I need all of them. And I think it was my mom. And she was like, let's just do the one for now. Let's just do one. And I was like, okay. But then I cracked it open and I was reading it, I think on the way home. And I was just like, I chose wisely. I chose my taste. It's unimpeachable. Yeah. And I really loved it. I just love that she felt like me.
Yes.
Like so much like me. And it was scary. I was like, is this my diary?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm so glad that you picked this book because I had forgotten about it. And I think it was one of those like Y2K things where I was like, maybe no one else ever heard about this.
Yes.
Something about the aesthetic, I think it's like the oranges and the purples has really had me thinking about the dolls that were called Groovy Girls.
Oh my God. Yes, because especially like just the art style too, it's like these huge heads and these brat's like lips and the kind of bendy appendages. They don't so much, because you know how Barbies go, K-! These are like noodles, and it's just so cute. I know exactly what you mean.
And she's got her little pigtails. And there's, I don't even know what it is, but yeah, the orange laptop.
It's so good. And I remember just like growing up, there were so many things, like so many stories, like movies and shows, like trying to figure out like tech. And they were like, our protagonist is introspective, but technology's on the rise. So what if she keeps a diary on her computer? And it was just like, I remember being like, that's so freaking cool, and just gagging over it. I tried to have a diary on Microsoft Word, but it was just not a vibe.
Reading this, it really reminded me of the Disney Channel movie Read It and Weep. Because that had, it was like an early iPad kind of journal.
Yes, because she drew in it.
And there
Oh, I
were
love that
things on
movie.
this. I read that book because I was obsessed with the Panda Baker sisters. They
Of
were like,
course.
really pretty brunettes. And I was like, that's me. Like, that's, it's them and Anne Hathaway. Like, that's the beauty standard.
Yes.
Ugh, and Sky High.
Oh my gosh, love. That era was so. Kids will never know. Kids these days will not, like, I'm sorry, they won't have something like this.
Yeah, and even the font is like should be, it's like Delia's, I think, because it has like the dingbat on it. Oh,
Yes.
Delia's.
Oh my gosh, I loved Delia's. I think I bought maybe one shirt from them, but that catalog had me by the
Oh my God.
throat. Every quarter,
And
love.
everything like had a name, and they, oh my God, it was all good. I wore black corduroy skinny jeans from them almost
Oh my
every
God.
day.
The
Almost every day.
corduroys. The corduroys.
To the point where my friends were
Iconic.
like, we don't know what your legs look like. We simply have never seen them.
They were like, I just assumed that they're like wibbly and black. Like, these are your legs. Are these your legs? Or are
To the
these
point.
just.
This one guy who was kind of mean, which is something I want to touch on in this. I feel like, is that like a kid thing or a specifically like Y2K thing where your friends are mean? But my friend was like, and you always wear these shoes that look kind of like hooves. So for all we know, you could be like a satyr. You could have like half goat body down there. For all we know, who knows?
Hello?
This is the same kid who like was very conservative, very Christian, and I remember so clearly in the hallway outside of ninth grade history, him being like, "You're going to hell."
Great.
And I was friends with him for like 6 years. That's messed up.
It's like, and I think we had like a similar upbringing of like, that was just the way that it was. Like, even now I'll like drive past a billboard and it'll be like, make sure you're not going to hell. And I'm like, so true.
Yeah, I remember back to first grade, because I was in high school. First grade, I so clearly remember it's like late December, I'm in a Girl Scout meeting, and one girl is like, "You celebrate Christmas, but you don't go to church? You're going to hell." And I was like, "This is the first time I've heard the word hell.
Oh
What?
my
What is
goodness.
this?"
What is hell?
Actually, no, I probably knew because I was such a big Buffy fan. It's.
Buffy introducing you to hell is
I
iconic.
know. Wait, have you seen I Saw the TV Glow?
Yes, I saw it at Sundance. There was a moment, there's like a 20-minute stretch of that film where it's like you forget to breathe. And it's like, you can breathe. The character is doing what they're doing, but it's okay to breathe. And I just had to like remind myself to like, oh
There were so many little Buffy nuggets in that that blew my mind. I was like, this is.
my gosh. Shameless plug, but I did get to like interview the director
Oh my God.
when I was in Utah, and they were so freaking cool. And they were just talking about like, even like the soundtrack was. They commissioned, I think, 15 or 20 artists. And the creative brief was, what would you play if you were like invited to guest on season 4 of Bucky? I mean, Buffy. Oh my God, not Bucky.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
That scene was so good.
And I had that CD of all the songs in like the first two seasons at the Bronze.
That's what's gonna happen with, hopefully, with I Saw the TV Glow. Like, I would buy a disc,
Yes, a
like a
real
jewel
disc.
case. Yeah, I totally would, and put it in my car
Yes.
and blast it. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's like that kind of thing. This brand of nostalgia that is so unique, but so beloved at the same time. Like, this was like, and that's why I loved going back and like revisiting this book, because just like reliving that feeling of like embracing analog and also technology, and kind of being like, grr, my laptop's hard drive.
Yeah, a kid comes back from computer camp and like all he can talk about is RAM. So
And you're like, this is foreign language to me. I don't know. Like, when I was a kid, I did not know what a hard drive was. Like,
No.
so the first page of this book being, she had enough space on her hard drive. I was like, wow. I was just reading. I was just not a care in the world.
She really, it's, I don't know. There, it is some kind of intersection of like, we grew up when there was like still a computer room where like computers were still really novel, where like something in your house that you did not have constant access to. Like, my early access to a computer was like, mom was asleep taking a nap, so I get to play The Sims for like an hour. You know? That's it.
Or like taught in classes. Like, there was a computer class to teach you how to type and how to use the freaking cursor in Internet Explorer. Like, no one needs to be taught anymore. And that's fine, but it's so, like, I feel like we were like the last kids that dealt with that and had like that kind of like almost novelty and excitement around it, like this new frontier, and we were like exploring it, and sometimes it was bad, like Omegle.
Describe that for people who don't
Oh
know.
God,
Because I'm
okay.
realizing like how much stuff we're saying that like I don't think children listen to this podcast,
No.
but how many things we're saying that are just like completely incomprehensible. Can you
Yes.
describe?
Yes, I can. So Omegle was like this video chat room. The only way I ever used it, I don't know if you could like actually like go on and like meet people, like schedule a meeting.
Like
As
call,
I understand it, it was just randomized. And you would just like enter a room and someone else would be in the room. Sometimes their camera would be off, sometimes it would be on. Sometimes they'd be like, "Are you a believer?" That was the mild. That was the like best case scenario. Some stan of something would be like, "OMG, who's your favorite NSYNC or One Direction boy?" Other times it would be, I was talking to my boyfriend about it actually. He got some really bad ones. Like, he was like, someone just played a clip of someone jumping to their death. One time when I was on it, this guy was jacking off. It was a lot of dark stuff. Just Wild West of
Is the
internet.
exact way to describe it. Wild
Yeah,
West.
the Wild West. I don't know how to like approach it now in my mind of being like, because I try not to have regrets, because I mean, I have enough shame and guilt as it is in my day-to-day life. I don't want to look back on a memory and being like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It was just an experience. It was like a sleepover thing that you would do, and I mean, hey, we're still here, so.
But that is Madison Finn, like the two biggest things here for me were the tech, obviously, and the anxiety that this poor girl has.
Oh my God, I know. I know. I think that's why I identified with her so much, because all she does is think. All she does is go, is this the right thing? Does he actually like me?
Is
My
she
ex-best friend is
happy?
my, oh my God, yes, her ex-best friend being her lab partner.
Oh my God. And one thing that really struck me is that Madison is mean. Like, this is revealed very late, but her enemy, who is like, it's such a classic narrative, but also rings true of like, I think it's in Mean Girls of like, we were best friends in like elementary school, and then everyone, like, some people got boobs, some people didn't. And now we're in high school and we're mortal enemies. And it's revealed that like Madison came up with Ivy's like very cruel nickname. Not very cruel, but like by those standards.
Honestly, like you can't walk around and your name be Ivy and not
No.
expect that to happen. But for your best friend to do it is kind of effed up.
Madison even describes it as backstabbing, which I felt like. But she does not have a lot of regrets, surprisingly, about it. Everything else, yes. Everything else, down to like, okay, well, this is another thing. And I want to approach this from like an AP Lit perspective, because this is a thing I joke about a lot.
I
Is
love it.
this gay?
Thank you. That's such a good
Thank you.
question.
Yes.
I say yeah. It's so
The
easy to make anything gay, but I do
yeah.
think that this, yeah. I was thinking about that like right before I got on. I was like, I wonder if we're gonna talk about
Yes. The
the queer
structure of the book,
undertones.
yeah. The structure of the book is Madison was alone. It's summer, which I love that we're like, it's an end of summer book, and like Memorial Day was yesterday. We're entering summer. It just feels, it feels very
Yes.
good.
Yes, it does.
And the title, all of it, the beginning page, I felt very, very resonant to me. It's summer. This girl is bored. This girl is bored. She is lonely. Her only companion is her divorced mom and her dog and her computer. And a beautiful new girl moves into the neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
And the, like, the conflict of the book is like, will this girl be my friend? And what will happen when my friends come home from camp? Will I be able to mesh my friend groups? Which
It's
is a
so that was like that's all girls have to worry about. Like 12, you're 12, you make friends, or like you make friends at camp, or you make friends at church, and you're all going to school together. It's like, what's gonna happen? Are we all gonna be together, or am I gonna have to like divide my time? And as a child of divorced parents, you want one group of friends. I'm sure there was so much trauma in her little brain. Like, oh my goodness, what am I gonna do if they don't like each other?
The parent dynamics I really wanted to talk about. My parents are not divorced, but there's the parent dynamics were still complex. Like, I think this is like a very fun, sort of like very minimal conflict, even though like minimal conflict book, even though to the character, like this is the hardest thing she's
Huge.
ever done.
Yeah.
Huge. But like so much of this has like such incredible nuance, especially this dynamic between the parents where she like lives with her mom, who is very inattentive. She has like a spreadsheet of how poorly her mom feeds her, which is like, yeah, I get that. I get that. That was my mom.
Oh.
She's like always on her, described as a smartphone, which I looked up, like, were there smartphones in 2001? It was like a PDA with like a BlackBerry kind of with,
Right.
I don't think it was a touch screen, but like touch with like a stylus that like had a little
Yes.
hole in the phone so you could slide it
Oh
in.
my gosh, yes. My dad had one of those. And I remember him showing this to me one day. He was like, "Look, I can write the letter on the pad and then the letter will pop up in text form." And I was like, "Just press the button." You're doing so much work. Oh man.
Maybe, obviously, I think of stylus and I'm like Nintendo DS. And I wonder, like, was that the first like personal tech that a lot of kids our age had?
I
Because it
think
was like
so.
every kid on the bus on the field trip was on their Nintendo DS, like in the chat room, like slandering each other.
We're drawing crude images. Oh my gosh, yes. I had a Game Boy Advance SP, but I don't feel like things took off until DS. When I had a DS, my life changed for
I had a Nintendo
sure.
DS like just to fit in with other kids. I was like, I did not really become like a video game girl until very recently with Stardew Valley, and even then, that's it. That's it.
Oh my gosh, you were a gamer so they wouldn't leave you
I
behind.
know, I was like, they are having conversations. I need to know what is
That's
happening.
fair.
Yes. Are people
Honestly,
talking about me? Yeah.
let me get in the chat room.
I need to
Let
know.
me find out. Let me find out. Oh my gosh, yes. That's so funny. I love that. And I do love that her like that Madison's connection to technology is like through her dad.
Yeah.
And that's in a way that's almost, I mean, not even almost, that's how she connects with him.
Yeah.
He tells bad jokes, he got her this laptop, but she really like turns it, and again, this is like circling back to like Read It and Weep, that whole thing. She
Yeah.
personalizes it and makes it so her own with like this diary and like the little collages that she makes. And I just think that's so, when I was a kid, I was close with my dad, and it felt like he never gave me like a laptop, but I really appreciated like their relationship, like Madison's and her dad's. I really gravitated towards things where girls and their dads were close. I don't know why. I probably know why, but we're not
For
unpacking
myself.
that today. Yeah.
No. But nevertheless,
Nevertheless.
the dad is definitely like the favorite parent, and I think that's because she does not live with him. To the point where, like, her mother is a documentary filmmaker. They go to Brazil this summer, and Madison is like, oh, it was so boring. Like, I had so much work.
Honestly,
I went to Brazil, and it sucked.
I know her perspective. It's so funny, like reading this as a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds lame. And now I'm like, girl, you don't know what you had.
No. To the point where I'm like, God, it was like getting good internships during summers during college was probably so easy for her. Jealousy over a fictional character's hypothetical future.
It's fun though. It's fun. As I was doing like my research, I realized that this had gone on for, I didn't read every book in the series, but it went on for like 20 something books. And I want to know what happens.
How can you crank out that many books? I mean, that would be like a minimum four per year, per like, I think she's starting seventh grade. And like, how cool. They just start seventh grade at the end of the book. But I think it was interesting. There's like, she is at such a turning point. There are so many things. Like, girls are starting like boys, and boys are starting like girls, and Amy came back from camp with boobs. Like, I feel like I'm overstating the boobs, but like that is such a huge
It's
thing when
so
you're that age.
crucial. Yes. I remember when I first like got mine, I was like, this is horrible. This is the worst thing that could have happened.
Do not look at me. Like before I got a bra, I had so many of these spaghetti strap tank tops from Target that had like an extra layer of fabric with like a piece of elastic underneath the boobs. I had those for a long time.
Me too. I loved those, like, I don't even know what they're called, just like double lined,
Yes. They're like
like
double
with the
lined
built-in
camis.
bra. Yeah. I loved those so much, but it came to a point where I could no longer wear them. And even like when Amy comes back, I'm like, and you're a ballerina, girl.
Yeah, she's about to have some a hard year. She's about to face some hard truths. Sorry, Amy.
That's like her dream. I like to think that she became one.
Yes, or
I
she
don't
found some
know
kind of dance passion. I was in dance classes until like fourth or fifth grade, and they were like, you either leave or this becomes your whole life, and it's time to choose.
Yeah, it's like now or never. The
Exactly.
clock is ticking.
You're nine, but decide.
Oh my gosh. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I didn't commit to like anything. I think that's why I liked Madison the most. I mean, other than her hyperfixation on pretty girls, she was just kind of like, I'm gonna do my thing. Like, she was really like on the cutting edge. Like, I hate being like, she was like kind of before her time. She was kind of a pioneer, kind of a trailblazer, but she was like forging her interests at a time where there was nothing. Like, people were like, what do we do with this? I can imagine her future so clearly, like circling back to speculating on what these kids
Why not?
are doing now, right? It's fun. And they were so in my heart when I was a kid, so it feels right to be like, these are my friends. What are they up to? I like to think she became like a visual artist or like a magazine editor or something. I think
And
that'd
she
be
was like
so cute.
one of the first kids to learn how to code. But now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, she was probably born like 91 or something. Like just a like not a whole lot older than us.
Our contemporary, even though she's fictional.
Yeah. And I wanted, I mean, it's in the series title, This Girl and Her Files. This girl has files on her friends. She has files on her parents. She like again, Fiona is the new girl in town. And to the point where at one point Fiona comes over, and by the way, playdate culture. Oh my God. Like playdate turning into like tween hangouts. But at one point Fiona comes over, Madison is like, I made us smoothies. And Fiona goes, I'm not a fruit person.
It's she set this up so much. She's like, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. And Fiona's just like, let's just not
Yeah. And
do any
Madison is
of
like,
that.
go into the file and it's like, no fruit ever. It's like so serious about it. And she has physical files. Like at the end, her dad gets her a scanner.
Know.
The scanner element and like printing things out. And I wanna come back to the card that she makes Amy.
Oh, yes.
But like my like primary form of self-expression in like middle and high school was like going on LiveJournal, finding like icons from, Doctor Who or something, and printing them out and putting them on my binders and covering them in packing tape so they would like so I, they could get wet. It wouldn't ruin the
That's brilliant.
imaging.
No, that's brilliant. And also because like you can rub the thing that I came up against like with when I was decorating my school supplies, I would like hold my books like to my chest because I saw so many like little freaking cartoons where they did that. And I was like, I want to do it too. And I would
I
just
still
like,
do that.
it's in you at this point. But I would rub the stickers off, like rub the design off. And by the time like the school year was over, they'd be just like white. And I'd be like, wow.
There
Wow.
used to be like a rainbow tiger cub on here, and
Yeah, time to go back to Miss, what was her name? Lisa
Lisa
Frank,
Frank.
who did all those? Oh yeah, that was my girl.
I feel like this episode is a lot of me just going like, do you remember that? Do you remember that? But do you remember like the huge posters that were fuzzy and there were like white spaces that you could color in with markers? That
Yes. Oh my gosh, you just unlocked something.
Because
The
she had
freaking posters. They were so good. I couldn't afford like all of the stuff, but I for sure had a folder with dolphins on it, for sure had a notebook with the tiger on it, and I cherished it.
You would like, and you would keep the cutest one for your favorite subject because it's like math is not going to get the cutest folder.
No. No, it's gonna get the ugly black folder for despair.
Yes. And science has to be green. Because,
Yes! Oh my God. Either green or blue. And math was red for me, actually. I don't know why. Really? Red for
maybe.
anger. Yeah, that makes sense. Just cue them all to your emotions.
But I wanted to talk about Amy, her current best friend, comes home from dance camp, and Madison has spent like a week making this like welcome home card that's a collage. And she has files, and this is genius because I also collage. She has a huge filing cabinet in her room, Sly, and has all these folders of like everything she finds in magazines. So it's like an animal folder, this and that, which by the way, I did that recently with my stickers. I have a binder of my stickers and they're all
I love
organized.
that. I need to do that because mine are literally just like in an envelope in a
Yes.
box right now. Reading this back, I was like, I need a filing cabinet. When I get to where I'm going, I'm getting a filing cabinet. But anyway, continue.
No, exactly. I was like, in my dream world, I just have an alphabetized row of boxes. And so, like, anything that starts with an A is going to be in the A box, and I'm always going to know where it is. Yeah, this girl is neurotic, but they're my neuroses, you know?
Yes, so it's like you're not even judging, you're like taking notes almost. Like, that's a good idea. That's a
Where she
great
spends
idea.
all this time making this card. And I was like, young girls, and this is getting into the gay thing, but like, friendships between young girls are so special in that, like, so, like, girls make care packages for each other, like, very seriously. Like, I
Yeah.
went away for one summer, for like a month, and my best friend sent me this, like, elaborate care package with, like, candy and, like, all these special notes and stuff. And like I had a friend like make this is so sad and also so sweet. I had a friend like make a box for me where she's like, anytime you're sad, just like go in here and there's something nice. And
Oh
that was
my
so moving.
gosh.
I made that for another friend with like nice notes and like here's some stickers and like here's like a cootie catcher and all this stuff. You know? That's so
Yes,
sweet.
it really is. We really love on our friends, I've noticed. And it's so right now, I feel like I'm kind of in this stage where I'm where I am, and all my friends are like scattered to the winds. Like after
Yes.
college, I was like, oh my God, like I'm never gonna have the same kind of friendships again. And that's part of what made reading this book so nice is just like remembering what it was like to go to school and like reunite with everybody. But even now, my friends will send me like Christmas cards, and I guess that's like the adultified version because we're all busy and stuff now. But it was just so sweet to remember that, especially because we went to art school. So, like, our care packages are like, they
A thing.
can be, yeah, they can be very high quality. Like, I have one of my best friends studied fibers, which I don't 100% know still to this
Yeah.
day what that
Yarn.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yarn and
So
textiles.
nice. Yeah.
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 And she like makes her own stamps. So her Christmas card was like these, it was so sweet. And I if I remember correctly, like Amy doesn't like fully appreciate the card
I
as
don't
much
think
as she
so.
should, right? Okay. That's what I remember. And I just remember like just in my gut being like, that's it's devastating because you know how much work went into it.
It's something really interesting that Madison contends with is that she says, like, when my friends come home, they are not as I remember them. And I don't know if it's because I'm changing or they're changing or things are simply never as you remember them. It was so devastating
Deep,
because it's
yeah,
true.
it really is. It's of the same like sentiment as you never step in the same river twice. Like when you're with, especially when you're a kid and you're like you're separated by summer, when you come back, it's like when you're growing throughout the school year, that's one thing. But when you're separate, it's you never come back and you have to refigure out how to, especially when you're a kid, like you change so quickly. I found like after high school, I was like, we're all pretty much now like the same people and we don't change that much. But when you're a kid, every day is different.
And something about this book being in summer, I mean, it being in summer, and she talks so much about the loneliness, which I love because, like, I went to a magnet school, so we were truly like scattered to the wind, especially before we could all drive and things like that. And I did not learn how to drive until I was 19, which worked out because I was always the youngest in the friend group, you know? So I didn't
Just get
bother
those
with it.
rides. Just get
Exactly.
those rides.
Oh,
Same,
and
actually.
maybe I've said this on the podcast before, but I was forbidden from DJing in the cars because I was told I only listen to sad music. And in hindsight, I was like, yeah, because I'm depressed. Yeah, there's a reason.
Disconnect for me, yeah, me too. The disconnect was always so sad because I was like disillusioned into thinking that I had really good music taste. And then I get in the car and I'm like, guys, have you heard Corinne Bailey Rae? And they're like, Olivia, no, don't play that right now. Don't play that. Don't play that. And I was just like, oh, okay.
I was like
Okay.
illegally torrenting the like Skins albums.
That's amazing. I came to Skins late, but yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
One thing I really loved about this book was just spending time in that mindset of summer vacation. Because obviously, like, we're adults and we have year-round jobs, or not me, but That's my bad. But it's so clearly like
Not
remind
me, but
me.
the rest of y'all.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah, I got like really lucky in like 2021 and that's it. But like I was so clearly remembering like sitting in my parents' basement because it's the coolest part of the house and like watching Sci-Fi, the channel, and like Ginger Snaps was always on, but I never watched all of it. And like I never watched Degrassi, but I was fascinated by the commercials, the shark in the water commercial.
Oh my gosh.
You know, doing my math
Yes.
packet.
Yes, doing my math packet. Doing like the little homework. There was just something so I don't want to say magical because that's corny, but there was something so magical about that time, like the
Your
limbo
responsibilities were so
between,
limited.
yes, and between summer and like the first day of school. That was my time. I loved that time. And I think everyone did, like buying new school supplies. Like, you're not excited for class, but just like there's something about grade school that is so unlike any other experience you will ever have. It's just like the idea of like walking down the hallways,
The
like
books to your
wearing your
chest.
cute, with your books to your chest, wearing your cute new outfit. Your hair is different. You might have gotten a haircut. You're primed to wait for people to notice you. Like, you are never more visible than when you're in grade school.
And especially on that
And
first day back, yeah, everyone's clocking each other.
yes. And there's like a thrill to that that I kind of miss. Like, but I also was like more self-interested than I've ever been because it was so much about what am I gonna wear? What if my hair doesn't turn out right on the day? That was my nightmare. And that's so personified in this book, more than any of the others. Because I do think some of them do go back to like that same time period, but this one is so unique in that it's like the first day of seventh grade, which
Oh, the
is
worst
huge.
year.
Yeah.
The worst year.
I suppressed so much of seventh grade.
I just remember it being the worst year. I don't even really remember why. That was when my depression started creeping in, you know? I was sitting there
Yeah.
like crying every night. And I was like, what is this?
I know. It's so it's like when the mental illness like fully boots up and you're like, I don't think this is just puberty. It's something else.
I was so convinced that like that was normal life and I just couldn't hack it.
Yeah, I have those thoughts all the time because I'm unmedicated. Hopefully that will change soon.
Yeah, get those meds. Those change your
Yeah.
life.
Yeah, I do think I should at least try. But like all throughout high school and middle school, I would be like, discovering Tumblr, getting into my little shows, doing art and listening to Paramore. And I would be happy, but then like the second I stepped out of that, Ooh, rough.
Let me stay in my bedroom and not leave, because that's where I can control and that's safe. And like people on the internet cannot see me, so they can't judge me.
Yeah. Those little chat rooms. Madison going through the chat rooms was so.
Yes. And the website, I'm gonna pull up my ebook because I highlighted stuff. I think the website with the chat rooms is something like teenblurt.com.
Yes.
Something great.
Something kid friendly.
Yeah, and I loved the language of it. It really felt accurate to the time, and it was also super fun. Like this is on the first page. This was the kind of brain freeze that happens when your thoughts get stuck in a whirly swirl of loneliness, friendlessness, and total and utter boredom. This was the chronic, moronic pain in the brain freeze that happens when everyone you know is at camp, but you're stuck home with mom.
Oh,
Good.
so good. Dower is just like a master of like I remember even before I decided that I wanted to be a writer, like reading her books was very, I don't know, I mean formative, yes, but also just so stimulating
Yeah, that's the way to
because
put it.
the way that she combines words, it's like this dizzying, hypnotizing roller coaster of quirkiness.
Weird.
Yes, of words that shouldn't match up, but they do. And it just worked. And there's something, oh gosh, I wonder if I can find it. I have my ebook up too. It's in the first chapter too. But
Madison hoped in her heart of hearts that she'd get 100 emails tomorrow. So sad.
I know. It's that paradox where you're like, I technically should be more popular, more stimulated, more this, more that. Like, even with the internet, she's still so alone. Even with everything at your fingertips, she's just like, well.
I know exactly that feeling, you know, just like stalled out. It's summer. She's so right.
I know, waiting for the next phase of your life to start, essentially.
It
The
feels like
days go
everyone else is
long.
having it. Yeah. One thing I loved so much is that, like, everyone is bad at conversation. Everyone just wants to talk about themselves. And
Yes.
I'm still doing that. I'm still struggling with that. And I love those moments where she's like, actually, I don't like my friend. He's annoying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. When she, like, when the flip switches and she's like, I know the switch flips and she's like, I'm gonna go home. And
Yeah.
right. And one thing I love about her is that she just decides when she's not having a good time and she's like, okay, I'm done.
Bye. Yeah.
Goodbye. I wish I had been like that. I was a lingerer. Like, a maybe the vibes will change if I just wait it out. It never did, but you know.
Yeah, I think there's like a desperation, at least in my situation. It was like I have friends. Like I what
Yes.
if I don't like them anymore and then I don't have any?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And ironically, I didn't experience that actually until college. Like, college was the time when I would have these friend groups and then they would just like implode. And I would move on to another one and then they would just implode. And I found myself just like clinging to older like pieces of media from my childhood where people, like in cartoons, they always wore the same outfit. The friends would always be there for each other. And it's like, whoa, I just miss that.
Yeah.
I do feel like this is a very nostalgic conversation right now. We're
Yeah,
like,
that's the whole point of the podcast.
oh, true. That's so
Yeah.
true.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. I don't miss necessarily being a child because, first of all, no autonomy. Second of all, you think too much. I still think too much, but you think way too much because you don't know anything.
Yeah. You grow up and you realize you're not alone. I think that's something so consistent in this podcast. It's like childhood is so isolating.
Yeah, incredibly. Because, like, even in this book, when she has these friends, she's like, ugh, but do I?
Yeah, the only person she feels like she can talk to is strangers on the internet, which
And her
relatable.
files.
Yeah.
I know, honestly. It kind of puts the whole poison ivy thing into better perspective because she's just bored.
Yeah. And she is, this is what I was gonna say, in her file, she is mean. She has no concern that anyone is gonna see this. She is like, Amy sucked today. I did not
Yeah.
like her today.
But she always just says, you know, tomorrow will be better, maybe. We'll see.
She has a sweetness, definitely.
Yeah, but she is like a Sour Patch Kid. She's sour then she's sweet. And I loved that though. I love that there's no filter and you're so in her. Like, I read a lot as a kid, but I never connected with like another protagonist the way that I connected with Madison. And I think it's because she's just so she's just so, you know, like
Yeah, she's messy, but not necessarily in like a drama way, which is hilarious because she is so organized. And there was some line where she was like, she classified, collected, controlled, and computed everything.
ugh, I love an alliteration, first of all.
Controlled was the one that stuck out to me so much.
Yeah. I think they tell you later on, like, when her birthday is. And I think she might be a Virgo. And I used to think about that all the time.
I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. That she was designed as a Virgo, in my mind.
Oh, God. Yeah. It made me also want to read The rest, because I want to know if her files are ever leaked. I used to think about that. That's so embarrassing.
I know. I even today I have a document called Things I Didn't Tweet. This cannot go to the cloud. This cannot go to the cloud.
Even drafts sometimes are way too. I go back and I'm like, yeah, but I don't delete them. I don't delete them. I don't know why. I'm literally never gonna tweet it. And I'm like, this is risque, but I keep it there. I don't know why. I guess to remind myself of who I was in that
This too is myself. Yeah, all my facets.
Yeah, I think that's what we're missing now, 'cause I was thinking about this the other day when I was about to tweet something and then I stopped myself because it was too mean. Just that I need a diary again.
Get a
Like,
journal, everybody.
yeah, I need a journal. I need a journal. Like, TikTok's not gonna cut it. Twitter's not gonna cut it. My private Twitter is also not gonna cut it. I need a journal. A journal. Write it out and not be ashamed. When I was a kid, I have no surviving journals from my childhood because I would throw that shit away.
I just
I
threw away a
threw it
journal
away.
from college, like
Oh
yesterday.
my
I was
God.
like, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to open it. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been the kind of person that like archives my life, save for Twitter, but I'm not sure that counts.
It's such tiny little windows, you know?
But there's also like, I don't know. There's so much artifice on Twitter. I just need to be in a place where I can say my thoughts and not be ashamed. Reading this back materialized that for me. I was like, no, you know what? I think I'm ready to journal again. I don't know. As I was packing up my apartment, I found my bullet journal from 2020. The spreads were lovely. Like I was getting back into collaging at that moment. And the spreads were lovely, but like then I would like look at my notes and be like, oh my God. Like work was hard. Let's talk about how hard work was. That is something that I would see fit to throw away because oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. That's not for
Not for memories, yeah.
No, it's meant to just dump it all out and forget it. But yeah, I don't know. It's just nice to read something and be like, remember your interests? Remember your hobbies?
Yeah, remember your fashion of embroidered khakis and jelly sandals?
Oh, it's very clearly coming back now, that fashion. Yeah, we could leave the jellies
They
where
hurt,
they are.
yeah.
Yeah.
They're sweaty.
Oh God, they slip and slide everywhere. Why would you? Come on. I stood idly by when we brought back ballet flats. This, I'm putting my foot down.
No.
We can't do it.
And ballet flats, that's painful too. Why are we not wearing sensible shoes?
Honestly, no arch. I'm almost 30. You want me to wear no arch? You're crazy. I'm not doing that. But yeah, it's just fun. I'd love to know what you thought of the boys. Of Egg
Ooh.
and oh my gosh, what's his name? Heart.
Heart? Yes.
Heart.
Heart is the
First of all, what a
crush. I
name.
know.
Heart
Definitely on the nose,
Jones.
Laura.
I
As the love
know.
interest. Yeah.
I know.
Egg sucked. Egg was annoying. He was annoying to be around. I loved the detail that his family did not have cable because classic, and that really sets you apart. I
It's like you
was
can't have conversations or recap
exactly.
anything.
You're so alienated. Yeah, I don't know. I think that was sort of all for Egg. It was interesting, like you felt the tension of like Egg thinks Ivy is hot. Egg thinks like Fiona is hot, and that's so, it
Yeah.
feels like such a betrayal when your friends start really caring about romance.
Like, oh, the boys
Especially,
have sexual desires, and it's weird.
yeah, I think especially because like for girls, like we were saying, those relationships are so intense, and I feel like a lot of us are queer. So many of us ended up as queer. So, like, those relationships are hard to classify no matter what. But I feel it's just like those relationships are so difficult. And I think it's because, like, girl sexuality just doesn't have a place in the world. So, it's like it's hard to navigate that. And there is such like fascination and obsession. Like, She starts her Fiona file and she goes, she has eyes that are a smoky green color, and that is why I think she looks like a model. And later goes, she actually asked me about my opinion. No one ever does that. That cut deep. That cut deep.
I know, because I'm like, are people really not asking about your opinion, or are you like,
Exactly.
or are you like, yeah, there is such an emphasis on the model good looks of Fiona, of how beautiful Fiona is and how effortlessly beautiful she is.
Yes. Oh, there's a line where it's like she was wearing the same yellow sundress from earlier, and she was wearing yellow jelly sandals, and she had perfectly painted her toenails the perfect grape color.
Honestly, the way that the narrator will go into such intense detail of what Fiona is wearing. I mean, and for Ivy too, but I think a
There's
part of that is
such less screen
because,
time for Ivy, yeah.
And it's like, of course, because she's a mean girl and, you know, she wears what she wears and she cares about what she wears. But Fiona, it's like everything she does. I remember that yellow and purple for years because I was like, oh, they're complementary colors. They shouldn't work together, but they do. It's like,
And
and I
only she could pull
think,
it off. Yeah.
yes. And so it's like when she's like, ew, who's your friend? And it's fucking Egg. No.
Disgusting.
No. Even without the queer implications, I'm like, Egg?
Of all people.
Of all people. Come on, come on. I think later in the series they date, and I'm just like,
But you mentioned Hart. Hart
yeah.
is. Hart had a crush on Madison when they were in like elementary school or like early elementary school. And then
This
he
is another
goes away or something.
tropey.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he comes back and he's hot. And I think there was something so satisfying about like, no, we all knew that he was obsessed with her. And I was like, God, to be so lucky.
I know. I know. Oh! I just loved it. I knew it was like only a matter of time. As I was when I was reading these, I was like, it's only a matter of time. I read like four or five, but I just was like, it was agony. It was agony waiting because Ivy was always doing some shit. And I was like, oh my God, girl. But that's another thing. Like, was she trying to mess it up because she had a crush on Madison?
Exactly. Like, no one will ever be able to sort those things out, you know? Because you didn't know then, you don't really know now. There's even here, Fiona and Madison swap phone numbers. And it's the end of chapter three, the very last sentence. She goes, they had swapped phone numbers, but who would be the first to call? It's like, that is a
Oh
dating thing.
my gosh. She's like, I have to be cool, but also I can't. I can't.
She is so down on herself. She's like, I simply cannot be normal in front of people. I simply cannot have a single conversation. There are times where she just sprints away from Fiona. Yeah.
Fiona never cared.
Fiona is still like, you're still gonna be my friend. There's a point where she like they're hanging out and she literally whispers in Madison's ear something like, I'm so glad to be your friend. Gay.
I know. Even that, I remember as a kid, I read that and I was like, I don't know.
Huh? This girl's weird.
It's still up in the air. Yeah, they were kind of like, it was very intense and not just in that way where things are like, we're just 12 and our emotions are very intense. It was more. It was so much more.
There's a line, she says, some kind of cosmic forces were pulling her together with this new girl.
Yo.
Girl.
Yeah, I need the 15-year reunion.
Oh.
Actually, like genuinely.
They go clog shopping. Ugh.
The freaking clogs. That was so
Yeah.
2000s. I remember my mom had clogs. She all she would wear were clogs. I used to like try on her clogs and walk around. They were heeled. And I would just be like, one day when I'm in seventh grade, I'll wear clogs too.
She's writing an email to her key pal, this anonymous person she met.
Oh,
She
big
goes,
wheels.
do we ever find out who Big Wheels is? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's much later. God, I can't remember her name, but I think I don't even remember what book it's in, but I think they introduced like this this plot line where she's like, oh, I'm on the spectrum. And Madison is like, what does that mean? I remember when I was starting to read this again, I was like, are they gonna do like a You've Got Mail situation? But they didn't. She's this random girl that lives out of state. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. Oh, okay. Later, Madison finds out that Big Wheels' little brother has autism.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. But damn, that's early to talk about autism.
I know. I know. I mean, they were ahead of
Yeah,
the curve.
she really was. I regret that I didn't look up Laura Dauer because at that point I'm like, were you an educator? Like, there's so much insight here.
I know. Like, what were you doing before this? Were you a mom? I'm also so in awe of people, of adults who can write such good kid stuff. Like, who can put themselves back into like what it felt like to be a child. Because I don't ever want to think about that.
Yeah. No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be that.
No, but her stuff is so good. And
Yeah.
it so effortlessly puts me back in that mindset. And even like going back to her description of like what Fiona was wearing, it's so, I can imagine the dress and it's like spaghetti straps and just like a bandeau and probably has little white flowers on it. And I
The
can,
little bow right there.
yes! And
Yeah.
I can imagine the material. I can imagine the material of the shoes. You just know. Or maybe it's just because we grew up in that time that we know. But it's just so fulfilling and like rich and full of color and life. And I really appreciate it. It's just, it's like what you said, there's nuance and it's like sophisticated, but it's just so nice.
There's emotional intelligence, and I think it's like she has these problems, but like they don't have to be resolved right now. There's like such an incredible way of talking about like spending an afternoon with Egg almost always meant doing what Egg wanted. And I think the same thing with like Amy and the same thing with Fiona. And like you said it earlier of like she invites her over and Madison cl so clearly has like a script of like, this is what we're doing, this is the agenda, that was me. And it never went the
Yes.
way you wanted. So bad.
Yes. But she was just like, by the end, she sort of makes peace with it
Yeah.
because she's like, at least I'm not lonely. At least I am not lonely. And I'm like, dang, girl.
Yeah. And she starts to have that realization of like, maybe we're all like this. And I think that's incredible and so important to tell kids. I think that's something I'm only right now realizing is like, oh, everyone thought they were the weird kid. Like, I don't think anyone really, like, even I think this is like a phenomenon maybe on other sides of TikTok of like, of girls being like, I was bullied, and other people being like, no, you weren't. You were a bully. But like, that's how we remember all of ourselves is feeling out of place and feeling wrong and disconnected.
There's this I can't remember who told this to me or where I heard this before, but it was basically to the effect of if you think everyone is looking at you, they're not. They're thinking about what they look like. Everyone around you is thinking about themselves. Or even if they are like critiquing you, it's because they're self-conscious about something that's in themselves. So we're all just walking around like, oh, I wonder what the back of my head looks like right now. Hope it's not crazy looking. That's a horrible rabbit hole to go down. Like, I wonder what I look like from behind. I don't ever need to know that. I don't ever need to see that. I am okay not seeing that.
She writes, Fiona is the antidote to all this loneliness.
Bro, get a room. Get a room, girl.
That was such a thing, though. I had my best friend, and I didn't realize until later because we had a. I realized I didn't like her 12th grade, and I kept the friendship going because I was afraid of not having friends. And then we graduated, and I was like, I'm never speaking to this person ever again.
Gosh.
But in hindsight, I'm like, not only did I want her to be my friend, I wanted her to be my mom, I wanted her to be my boyfriend, I wanted her to be my psychiatrist and like cure my depression. So of
Oh my
course
gosh,
she couldn't do
yes.
all of that. Like, of
Yes.
course.
It's literally like on every level, you want Like, that's what you want your best friend to be. Like, my sister, my significant other, my partner in crime, like the person that's gonna like my freaking Professor X that's gonna talk me off the ledge. So many things. And it's like, is that realistic?
We get those ideas from TV and stuff of like you do have a, like you said, a partner in crime. And I like that here it's like I still like these people, but I don't like them today. And this is not good.
Yeah, I think that's something that I really love in children's media. Like, even right now, as I've been packing up to move, I've just had like Avatar: The Last Airbender reruns on. And it's been great because you don't realize, like, one, just how angry like a character like Katara really was. She had so much anger. And especially after watching the Netflix version, I was like, you kind of sawed off her hard edges, but whatever. That's a conversation for another day.
No, that's weird. And the Wicked musical. Yeah, don't get me started.
Oh, I'm scared. I'm scared. But it's just like, that's what I like about children's media when they freaking fight.
Yeah.
And they freaking fight each other. And it's like, yes, this is what needs, this is what happens. We brawled a lot.
Yeah, I had like a
We
one
were
day friend
tussling.
breakup. Yeah, where I was
Oh
like,
my gosh.
my friend is like spending too much time with this other girl. Yeah, we started middle school, and a friend from a different school was there and was like her other bestie. And I was like, what?
No,
So
that's betrayal.
I went on Gmail chats, GChat, and talked about it with another friend. And I was like, I need some counseling. Like, what do I tell her? And then I fucking, this was so dumb. I printed out our chats because I was like, this explains how I'm feeling. Like, this really puts it into words. I folded it up and I sat down next to her on the bus and I slipped it into her lunchbox and then I just sat there. And so, of course, she read it and was like, ugh. And then, like, showed her boyfriend and they would be broken up by the end of the week, you know?
Of course.
And then everyone was like, gosh, Erin, we know exactly your issue. We know all of your thoughts and feelings. And then we were fine by the end of the day. Like, it resolved itself.
You just had to have that little combo.
Exactly. And luckily, that
Okay.
boy Carlos randomly, like, split his hand open with really dull safety scissors during math class. And that was all really, I hated that kid, but he had my back that day because that's the only one I could talk about, you know? I hated that kid. I like still dream about how
My
much I hated
gosh.
that kid in like sixth
What?
grade.
You
Yeah,
dream
it was
about
such
the
a level of like
hatred?
ingrained frustration. Yeah, because he was such a shit starter and I love rules and learning.
I was talking about something similar with my boyfriend, who we both know, Chad, the other day.
I'm so proud of him
And
and his writing. He's
yo, he freaking
awesome.
co-wrote the freaking season finale of
Finale!
Abbott freaking Elementary. Like, I can't believe I'm still. We were sitting and watching it together, and I was like, there's your name right there. And he was like, yeah, he. But he's so whatever about it. And I'm like, are you just like numb or are you like that casual about it? But anyway, we'll share. We didn't know each other in school. We all went to SCAD for the readers. We all went to school together, but I was not in like class with him. And he will tell me about how he was in school. And he'll be like, oh yeah, like I had a writing assignment, but I only wrote like 7 pages instead of the 15 pages because I know I can write 7 good ones and I don't want to force it. And I still got an A. And I was like, oh, we would have not have gotten along. We would not have gotten along in school because I would have been like, how could you not do the assignment and still get a pass? Like,
Exactly. We are here to do the work. Why are you
literally,
paying all this money if you're not even going to do the homework?
literally, just do the assignment. Yeah, but the professors loved him. And that's fine. He didn't even have to try. Whatever.
Yeah,
I don't care at all.
that.
Oh my gosh, what a time. Just like being in Savannah.
I'm so possessive about Savannah. Like someone just like posted a TikTok and they're like, I was in Savannah, and I was like, it's so gorgeous, isn't it? I was there.
Anytime, it's like it's to the point now where anytime I wrote this in the idea of your review. Just that they cheated so much for Savannah. They go to Italy. They're on River Street. Yeah, they're literally on River Street. And I'm like, huh. And her house, she's like, I live in Silver Lake. I'm like, you're in Savannah right now.
Yeah, man.
You're in Savannah right now. And I love it. I love knowing, I guess. But
Yes.
even watching May December, I was like, I could have been there. I couldn't have, but I
Yeah.
could have. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's
Yeah,
rough.
it's the weird thing of like things that were so personal to you suddenly everyone gets access to them. It's like, but you don't know how special that is to me. Again, like there's a scene in May December where one of our professors is in it and it's shot in a coffee shop that was like the cool place. And the whole time a friend pointed this out about herself, and I've noticed it in myself of like when I'm watching a movie, I'm just constantly drafting my Letterboxd review, and I need to stop doing that
Yes,
and like invest in
me
the film.
too.
Watching May December, and I was like, how do I convey in this Letterboxd review how many times I have demolished the bathroom in that coffee shop? And I had like, because it's mine, you know? Because that coffee shop is
Yes,
mine. Yeah.
yes. It's so freaking specific. I tried to do that in my letterbox review for May December, but I don't think it worked. I was just like, it was really weird seeing a professor
Yes.
sharing a scene with one of my favorite actresses. That's all I could say. That's all I can say
Yeah.
because it's just so surreal. But we know the truth.
Yeah, and one day we'll go back and we'll have lots of money and we'll shoot things there. And I think that's all I have to say about Madison Finn, Only the Lonely. What about you?
I
Is there?
think,
Yeah.
yeah, I think I've encapsulated how surprised I was that this book held up and how much I enjoyed revisiting. I hate saying the world, but the
Yeah.
world because it's so realized and fun and safe.
Would you consider it required reading?
I would. I really would. And it's sad. I feel like it should be in that pantheon of like young adult, like Are You There, God? What's that other one? Anything by Judy Blume.
Yeah.
I just feel like it deserves to be there, but it's so, even when I was a kid, I don't think my friends were reading it.
I think my mom bought it, but I don't know where she found it.
I know it's like niche, because even now I'm like, I go to the bookstore sometimes and I'm like, I wonder if Madison Finn is here. It's not. And I'm bummed. But I just think it's really iconic and really underrated. And I think the way, I mean, again, the way that it processes and presents female friendships is really sweet and really three-dimensional and a lot of fun. I wonder if it has aged well though, because of
Right.
like the way I guess that technology is depicted in it. Like people are like, well, what is ASL? And it's like, oh my God, you sweet summer child.
There's like very few things where you're just like, oh, that's bad. And I think the only thing that I remember fully is I think Egg is like, she's such a tease. And I was like, you're 12.
I know. How do you know what the
What is she teasing, Egg?
ha
It's clearly like he just heard that on TV somewhere, and you know, and I
Yes.
understand that.
That was me with the word pissed.
Oh.
And I remember one day I was watching the news with my dad, or the news was on and he was in the kitchen. And I think Elton John was suing somebody for something. And I was like, I bet Elton John is pissed right now. And my dad was like, where did you
Appropriate usage, though.
that? But yeah, definitely required reading, I'd say.
Yeah, I think even just to understand 2001 or maybe even 2000, but yeah, also like early relationship with technology, female friendships. I think it's great to give to like, I mean, I don't know this personally, but to d give to a kid whose parents are divorced, just like to give a lens that like you're not alone with that.
Yeah. I'd agree
Yeah.
with that. I love that what you said about seeing how things were in the 2000s, because in my head I was like, it's a time capsule. It feels like a really fitting and perfect time capsule. I feel like now, even too, like the new generation of filmmakers are part of our generation. And they're making coming of age films that are Y2K focused.
We just talked
And it
about, I saw the TV Glow.
feels, yes, that. And then there's one called Dee Dee that I
Yes, I
also
saw
saw
that
at
one.
Sundance. Oh, it's so good.
That was
But
so good.
so many of my peers are like, who stole my diary
Yes.
and made this? Because it's like early tech, Facebook messengers, poking people, doing shit on like camcorders. It's so specific. And it's like, that is the new sort of like John Hughes coming of age setting. And I love it. And I'm excited to see more. And revisiting this was in the same vein, just being like, ugh, going back.
Yeah, there was just like such a degree of like optimism about the internet and what it could be. I think it's important to remember that.
Yeah, especially now where we have commercials where things are man-made treasures are getting crushed and an iPad is coming out and AI is the fear towards it and the ignorance towards it is just what it is. I think that's why I said the world feels safe.
This, I so clearly remember like in computer class for some reason, like multiple times being shown the Mac 1984 commercial. That was from the 80s. That was pre us. From that to, AI destroying things is, you didn't end up where you thought you were going to. You ended up on like a truly different side.
I'm gonna be sitting with that one for like the rest of the night, I fear.
Oh yeah, me too. Well, is there anything you'd like to plug as we round out?
Man. Okay. I am on Twitter. The only thing I really have to plug is like myself
Yeah, do it.
and the places that I speak on. I'm thinking about starting a newsletter or a podcast. I think
Nice.
that would be a lot of fun. I haven't decided yet, but until then, you can find me on Twitter at Livy Scott, LYVIESCOTT. I'm also on TikTok, and I write daily for Inverse.com. It's an entertainment and science magazine. So if you like bitchy takes on Marvel, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, that's where you can find me just talking shit.
Woohoo! Thank you so much to Livy. Thank you so much to everyone who's listening for 30 episodes. And next week, we are starting an ongoing series that's going to be called Dealer's Choice, where I pick the book. And Jenny Cavallaro, who did our Sideways Stories from Wayside School episode, is coming back to discuss the book of my childhood, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist by David Cohn and, no, Rachel Cohn and David Levithan. Oops. And again, if you are interested in joining a group message, Zoom, book club kind of thing, DM me on Instagram. You can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles. The R stands for Rosalind Russell. She's great. Check her out. Okay. Thanks so much. Goodbye.